get going. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 6. First Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 6. We started out in chapter 4 last week, and tonight we'll pick up where we left off. We'll pick up at verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory, as if thou hadst not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? Let's stop right there, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, help me do my best to expound the scriptures tonight. May the Spirit of God help me to do that. May the Spirit of God fill me and give me the right words to say. May the Spirit of God be our teacher tonight and show us things from thy word that we need to know, things that will help us to be better Christians. Lord, I would think some folks might still be on their way. Get them here safely. Just give us a great meeting tonight, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, the church in Corinth had a problem with carnality. And we have dealt with that quite a few times since we started this series. Just to go back a little bit, go to chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual. Notice Paul said, I can't talk to you like I'm talking to spiritual people, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He said, you're like babies spiritually. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. So they couldn't handle strong meat. They could only handle milk like a baby. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. Now here's what's really interesting here. He explains their carnality. He says, verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So this idea of breaking off into factions and forming cliques, that was carnal. That's what Paul is saying here. This carnality manifested itself in various factions, and it manifested itself in pride. And we'll deal with that problem tonight. We've already spent quite a bit of time with the problem of factions and cliques and groups being formed. But tonight we'll focus on the pride problem. They're connected, obviously. This is certainly the same problem, but just two different ways to look at it. But more than once, the Apostle Paul has said that the divisions in the Corinthian church were the result of their vanity and their pride. Now, our text tonight in chapter 4, verse 6, and we're going to try to go all the way to the end of the chapter. In our text, we see that Paul rebuked their pride by contrasting his own experience as an apostle with the glorying and boasting and self-satisfaction of the Corinthians. So Paul draws a contrast, and we'll spend some time with that in a few minutes, Lord willing. Now, he says in verse 6, "And these things, brethren," see verse 6, "and these things, in other words, all that's been said so far," that's what "these things" refers to. All these things Paul has been saying so far regarding the foolishness of factions and divisions. He says, "I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes." In other words, Paul wanted to teach them a lesson on humility that they might learn in us. Notice Paul says in us. He means in him and Apollos and the others. That is, they would learn by the example of Paul and Apollos, and that they would learn not to go beyond the things which are written. Now, if you look at verse 6, he says here that you might learn in us, in Paul and Apollos, not to think of men above that which is written. Above means to go beyond what is written. Of course, he's talking about what's written in the Bible. And that's a problem, by the way. Some people go beyond what's written in the Word of God, and they get in trouble that way. Let's stick to what the Bible says. There's plenty here. We don't need to go beyond what the Bible says. Let's stick to what the Bible says. Now, they were going beyond or above the things which are written in the Bible. Now, by the way, Paul was not speaking here in verse 6 of any specific scriptures, but to the general teaching of Scripture as to the danger and the foolishness of pride. And if you ever want to do a really good, interesting, helpful Bible study, do one on pride. You'll find literally scores of verses dealing with the problem of pride. You don't have to just limit it to pride. You can have haughtiness or similar words. Here we have in chapter 4, puffed up, same thing. Some people are puffed up. That means they're proud. And so it's a wonderful study if you look about what God says. You know, God resists the pride. Resist the proud, gives grace to the humble. There's so much the Bible says about the danger of pride. Proverbs 6:17 says God hates a proud look. You know, God hates certain things. In fact, Proverbs 6:16 says pride is an abomination to God. Not only does God hate it, yeah, it's an abomination, the Bible says. Now, Paul wanted the Christians in Corinth to avoid pride. He wanted them to avoid the pride and partisanship connected with their preference for certain preachers. In other words, he's already dealt with this partisanship and taking sides and picking factions and cliques and so on. Now he's going beyond that and saying, it's because of pride that you're doing this, you see? So he wanted them to avoid the pride and the partisanship connected with picking out certain preachers. I'm with Paul. I'm with Apollos. I'm with Cephas and so on, you see? And that's what they had. If you go back to chapter 3, we saw that in verses 4 and 5 and 6, you see? You know, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. And he says, aren't you carnal for doing that? And then you get down to verse 22. Chapter 3, verse 22, he says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. So these men, Paul, Apollos, Cephas, they were given to the church to teach the church. And Paul says, they're yours. But why break up into groups and say and limit yourself by saying, well, I'm going to be with Cephas or I'm going to be with Apollos? All these men were given to the church. Now, getting back to verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6, you'll notice here Paul says that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. That means they shouldn't be taking sides. They shouldn't be forming factions, you see. It's wrong to boast of one man and to disparage another. And that's what they were doing. And such an exaltation of their teachers was not an act of loyalty, but rather was a gratification of their pride. And that's what Paul is warning them about. The Christians in Corinth were following men rather than following the Lord. Now, there's an interesting verse here. We just read it. I want you to look at verse 16, chapter 4, verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now, it almost seems to contradict what Paul's saying, but it's not. Because Paul was following the Lord, when they were following him, they were following the Lord. You see, that's the idea there. Now, Paul told them that he was using his name and Apollos' name to make a point, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. I have a very simple outline tonight. Let me give it to you. It's very simple and easy to remember. Their pride revealed, their pride repudiated, and their pride rebuked. Let's look at the pride revealed. Now, I mentioned that term puffed up. We see it three times here in this chapter. Look at verse 6, at the end of verse 6. That no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Then go to verse 18. In verse 18, he says, but now some are puffed up. And then in verse 19, he says, I'll know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. And if you go to chapter 5, verse 2, he says, and you're puffed up and have not rather mourned. So we see it three times here in chapter 4, then again in chapter 5, verse 2. Now, Paul was warning them of the danger of being proud and being puffed up. And the first time we see him use that term puffed up is in verse 6, where Paul refers to himself and to Apollos. Now, Paul pointed out that he was using his name and Apollos' name to illustrate his argument, to make his point. I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. Now, Paul not only revealed their pride, he also ridiculed their pride. If you go in verse number 7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? Now, glory, as it's used here and as it's used in chapter 3, verse 21, means to boast. Boast, you see. So you could say, why are you boasting? As if thou hadst not received it. Now, go to verse 8, where he is a little sarcastic. In verse 8, now you're full, now you're rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign, that we might also reign with you. So you could say Paul is being a little sarcastic here. He's ridiculing their pride. Their pride is not only revealed, their pride is ridiculed. Now, verse 7, he says, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Now, think about this. James chapter 1, verse 7 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. So, in other words, you could say every good gift comes from God. That's what James 1, 17 is saying. So, if the gift came from God, why glory? Why boast? You see, that's what Paul's trying to say. All the glory belongs to God. You see? So why boast about it? And it seems rather strange, but some Christians were doing that. And that's why Paul had to correct them. They had become proud. They were puffed up. And Paul says, why are you boasting if you received a gift? Why are you glorying about that? It came from above. It came from God. You see? And if the gift came from God, all the glory belongs to God. The songwriter put it this way. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. So the Corinthian Christians had become proud, puffed up. They became self-satisfied. Paul sarcastically told them that they were full, they were rich, they were so full of themselves. They thought they were wonderful. They even reigned as kings in verse 8. They were fully satisfied with themselves. They were complacent. And you know, I've seen over the years, I have seen Christians that become very self-satisfied. And that's dangerous. You know, they become self-satisfied with their lack of Bible knowledge. I don't know why anybody would be satisfied about that. They're satisfied with their weak prayer life. They've come to live with that and accept that. They're satisfied with the fact they never win souls. Don't even try. They're satisfied with their Christian life, even though their Christian life is weak and shabby, but they're satisfied with that, you see? And that's what happened here in Corinth. The prophet Amos put it this way: woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Amos 6:1. We got a lot of folks at ease today in the church, you know, just kind of coasting along, you know, self-satisfied, complacent, you know, even puffed up. Our Lord rebuked the lukewarm church of Laodicea. He said to them, because thou sayest, I am rich. Doesn't sound like what Paul's saying here in our text tonight. I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Revelation 3:17. All right, so let's move on. Their pride revealed. Paul reveals it to them. And even we see their pride ridiculed also. And then we have their pride repudiated. And Paul contrasted their pride and self-importance with the testimony of the apostles. We see that in verse 9. For I think that God had set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. Now, he's including himself. He says, set forth us, the apostles. You see that? And by the way, when you go to chapter 9, verse 1, Paul says in chapter 9, verse 1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Now, Paul is contrasting their pride and self-importance with the testimony of the apostles. And as I said, he's including himself. The proud Corinthians reigned as kings without us, chapter 4, verse 8. But the apostles, we're told, were made a spectacle unto the world. See the contrast? The Corinthians were boasting. They were reigning as kings, verse 8. Verse 9, Paul says, but we're made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. Wow, what a contrast we have right there. Huh? What a difference. Paul continues the contrast in verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable. You're honorable, but we are despised, verse 10. So while the Corinthians, the Christians in Corinth, reigned as kings, the apostles both hungered and thirsted. Look at verse number 11. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst. So the Corinthians were reigning as kings, but the apostles were hungering and thirsting and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. Well, that doesn't sound like the way a king would live, right? No dwelling place. A king lives in a palace. But these apostles had no certain dwelling place. And so it was quite a contrast there. They labored. Paul says they labored, working with our own hands, verse 12. Now, you know Paul, he was a tent maker. So he worked with his own hands. In addition to all his preaching and writing and soul winning, he worked a regular job as a tent maker. In fact, Aquila and Priscilla were also tent makers, and they were in the same line of work. So they labored, working with their own hands, being reviled, they blessed, being persecuted, they suffered it, being defamed, they entreated. Verses 12 and 13. Also, verse 13 says there was like the filth, they were made as the filth of the world. Again, look at the contrast, reigning as kings and being treated like filth. And on the offscouring is a word we don't use these days, but it really means dirt. Like, we're treated like dirt. Offscouring of all things unto this day, verse 13. Now, think about Paul. Paul had been falsely accused, imprisoned, beaten, stoned, whipped, shipwrecked. He'd been mocked, maligned, misunderstood, and mistreated. And Paul said all of this not to upset them, not to shame them, but to warn them. Look at verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. So the purpose of this admonition wasn't to shame them, it was to warn them. And sometimes we have to do that with people. We don't want to shame them. We don't want to embarrass them. We don't want to upset them. We don't want to get them mad. But we have to warn them, because there are many Christians who have a bent towards pride or a bent towards backsliding, or it could be a number of things. So Paul said this not to shame them, but to warn them. Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And Paul loved them, didn't want to see them fall. He didn't want to see them self-destruct. They could be so puffed up, they could just blow right up, right? Paul didn't want to see them fall, because a haughty spirit goes before a fall. And Paul loved them. If you look at verse 21, he goes, should I come in love? He led them to the Lord. He was like their spiritual father, so he loved them. And he could see they were heading for trouble. And so he was trying to warn them. In verse 14, Paul referred to them as his beloved sons, because he won them to the Lord. They were born again through his ministry. In verse 15, he refers to himself as their spiritual father. He says, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you. Begotten you means you're born again. Begotten you. You're not talking about a physical birth here, but a spiritual birth. I've begotten you through the gospel. So they were converted through Paul's ministry. And because of that, Paul wanted to warn them, correct them, try to help them. So we see their pride is revealed, their pride is repudiated. Let me say a few words before we go to prayer about their pride rebuked. Their pride rebuked. Now, not only was, first of all, we see Paul was going to send Timothy. Look at verse number 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So Paul was sending Timothy there. Not only would he send Timothy, but he himself was going to come too, if the Lord will. In other words, Lord willing, Paul would go too. Look at verse 18. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will. So Lord willing, that was Paul's plan, to come to them. And I will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Now, that's an interesting statement. He said here, I'll come to you shortly, if the Lord will. That's simple enough to understand. But then he says, and I will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. But the power. Paul said that when he got there, he would know whether or not the puffed up people, the puffed up troublemakers, the puffed up people that were causing so much trouble in the church there, had any real power. You see, was a real genuine power, or was this a bunch of words, you see? Because if you look at verse number 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word. They were good talkers, Paul said, but that's not what the kingdom of God is all about. It's not in word, but in power. And I'm quite certain this reference to power in verse 19 and in verse 20 is talking about Holy Spirit power, real genuine power, the power of God, you see? So the kingdom of God is not just word. In other words, the word here, Paul's referring to their boasting, their vain and empty boasting, but of real, genuine power, the power of God. And then he says, verse 21, but what will ye? In other words, it's up to you. That's what Paul says. It's up to you. What will you decide? It was for them to decide. It would depend altogether upon them, the Corinthians. If by their factions and divisions. They would continue to behave foolishly. Then Paul says he would have to chastise them with a rod. Now, I don't think the rod here has to be taken literally. I think they were too old to get a spanking. But I think he's using it figuratively. The Bible often uses the word rod figuratively. It talks about correction and so on. In other words, you'd have to get there and really straighten them out. And so you want to do it that way, Paul says? In other words, like sometimes the policeman will say, you want to do it the hard way or the easy way? And so he's giving them a choice here, you see? And if you're going to resist arrest, that's the hard way. Or if you're going to be meek and humble and submissive, then it'll be the easy way, you see? And so he's giving them a choice here. What will you? Shall I come unto you with a rod? You're going to make it hard that way? Or you're going to repent and humble yourself? Then I'll come in love and in the spirit of meekness, you see? So if they continued being proud and foolish, then he'd have to chastise them with a rod. But if they demonstrated unity and love, and then he'd come in love and in the spirit of meekness. Now, something I kind of passed over before. I'm going to deal with it now for a couple of minutes before we conclude. There's a word in verse 15, instructor. Notice Paul doesn't say you have many pastors or preachers or teachers. He used the word instructors. Look at that, verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors. Again, I believe that's kind of figurative too. I think they literally had that many instructors, but he means you have a lot. You have many instructors in Christ. Now, that word instructor is the same exact word, the same Greek word, is translated schoolmaster in Galatians 3:24 and 3:25. The word literally means a child trainer or a tutor. I got a good quote here for you. I got this from Harry Ironside. He said, there are 10,000 child trainers, but only one father. See, Paul was saying, I'm your spiritual father. I'm the one who led you to the Lord. Notice he says here, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel, verse 15. So he was their spiritual father. You know, you can have a lot of people that can teach you some things, but it's only one person led you to the Lord. See? So he goes, Ironside said, there are 10,000 child trainers or instructors, but only one father. The child trainer looked after the minor children. And he says, you Corinthian babes, you have plenty of child trainers, but only one father. I brought you to Christ, and I am your father in Christ. How can you tell when people are still in spiritual babyhood? One thing is they cannot enjoy the deep things of God. I have fed you with milk, he says in another place, and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. That's chapter 3, verse 2. I have known... Now, Ironside goes on to say, I have known young Christians who, after being converted a number of years, say, I'm not interested in Bible lectures. They're too dry for me. I do not understand them. I like something simple. And you get the impression that they would like to lie down on a couch and have a nursing bottle and a nipple on it in order to suck down a little weak truth. Many of you ought to be teachers yourselves by this time, and you are still just babies. That's kind of a lengthy quote, but I thought it was really interesting. So that's the idea here. They were carnal. They were proud. They were weak. They were still on milk. And Paul says, you have 10,000 instructors, yet not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. So Paul was trying to warn them, correct them, help them, which, of course, not only does a good preacher do, but especially a father. A father certainly wants to make sure his children are in the right way, you see. You know, I have noticed myself there are a lot of people in this congregation that are very weak. They're still on the baby bottle, so to speak, especially the Sunday morning crowd. You know, they won't come to Sunday school. They won't come back Sunday night. They won't come to prayer meeting like this. And you have to wonder, are they reading the Bible at all during the week? Do they even pick up a Bible at all during the week and look at it? So we have a lot of that. We got to pray about that. I know it's been a burden of mine for quite some time. In fact, I was telling Carl, and Carl and I prayed about it, that I really wanted to finish the series on Genesis. and get through that, and I have. And now that's behind us, I want to just preach a lot of more simple messages. Maybe try to wake up some people around here. I think some people, nothing's going to wake them up. I could put a stick of dynamite under their chair, it wouldn't wake them up. But some people just try to preach some Bible messages, try to get their attention. Maybe ask the Lord to use that to get their attention. Amen? Because we've got too many babies. You know, the church is not going to go forward with a bunch of babies, right? I mean, it's common sense. We know that. So we got to pray about these things. Heavenly Father,